good to see all of you this morning in church. You could have slept in because you lost an hour, but yet you're here with us, and so we're grateful to God that you chose to be with us. Those that are watching us online, we are grateful that you're here and that you're part of our church family as well. Real quick, just so you all know, a couple weeks ago I was at a clergy retreat. You all might remember Father Crisodolos. He came here several times in the past, and he's someone that he's like the Hierokirikos, they call it in Greek. He's basically the father confessor of our church, of our metropolis, and he was here visiting with us. And it was beautiful when he came. I saw him a couple of weeks ago when he was here. He was saying, he said, "Father Nick, I was on the island of Fiji." And when he landed at the island of Fiji, he was doing some work on the island of Fiji. Many of you may not know where Fiji is. You can look on your map when you get home. But when he was there, he said that someone came up to him and said, "What is this St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church in Jacksonville, Florida? There are people watching in the island of Fiji." So to those of you that are watching us from Fiji, we're glad that you're part of us here in Jacksonville, Florida. It's amazing what this ministry has grown into all over, literally all over the world. People are tuning into our liturgies, and we're grateful for that. You know, I want you to open up in your, when you came to church this morning, there was a worship guide that you might have found on your pews. It's a what we do every single week. We basically give you the notes of our sermon so that you're able to write notes to it, to make adjustments, to make some notes that you feel might be applicable to you and in your own walk of faith. So I encourage you, make it a point. If you want to, take notes. There's pencils in your pews. It's all about there to help you in your walk of faith. Well, today is the final Sunday in our sermon series, our relationship sermon series entitled Starting Today. And in this sermon series, we began it 4 weeks ago. And the first week was talking about how God yearns for us to have a God-first marriage. That if you desire to do what God expects in any relationship that you have, whether it be a friendship, whether it be a relationship, whether it be with your husband or your wife, God says above everything else, it's got to be a God-first marriage. And we talked about how a family that prays together, reads the Bible together, worships together, is a family that stays together. Second week, we talked about how in every marriage, you're going to have disagreements. No marriage is perfect. And so we talked about how do you disagree or fight nicely within a marriage or in any relationship. We talked about how it means to empathize. Put yourself not in your own shoes, but put yourself in your spouse's shoes or in your friend's shoes. See how they're thinking, how they're feeling. Try to empathize with them. And we talked a great deal about that. And then last week we talked a great deal about resisting temptation. No matter how good of a person we are or we think we may be, all of us, as the Bible says, have perpetual sins that impact us. Every one of us. And so whatever that is, if it's an attitude, a behavior, whatever it is, we talked last week that if you don't learn to confront it, it will attempt to conquer your marriage. And go back online. We have that on our Saint on the Divine app or on our website at saintonthedivine.com. But today I want to finalize this and kind of bring everything back together and talk to you this morning about starting today to have a never giving up attitude in your marriage and in your relationships. You know, just like there are seasons throughout the year, you go through seasons in your marriage. Maybe for some of you, you're in a spring season now. Everything's blossoming. Everything's going great. You have fun with each other. You enjoy each other's company. You empathize with each other. Whenever you have an argument, you don't dwell on it. You move past it. You enjoy each other's company. You're in a spring season right now in your marriage. But for some others, maybe you might be in a cold season in your marriage, in a winter season. In other words, things are just cold between you and your spouse. You're living in the same house. You might be in the same room, but there's no communication. You're in one corner. The spouse is in another corner. You don't have fun with each other. You don't talk about the good old times. You don't empathize when you have an argument with each other. You kind of dig in. They dig in. It's just simply coasting. You're just kind of settling in your marriage. You're in a winter season. I had this man tell me the other day about a couple months back. He said, he goes, "Father Nick," he goes, "when I come home, I'm always in a winter season. Because when I come home, my wife doesn't greet me at the door. In fact, the only person that greets me at the door is my dog. Every time I see my dog, the dog runs up to me, is excited to see me, jumping up and down, excitement." He goes, "but my wife, I have to go there and see her and talk to her." He goes, "I wish my wife love me like my dog. And I was like, oh, no, don't think like that. Your wife does love you. And he goes, no, Father, tell your parishioners to do this experiment. And I want to give you this experiment. He says, take your wife and your dog, lock them in a closet, wait about an hour, open the door, and see who's happier to see you. Don't do that at all. I'm not saying that I would do that or anyone else should do that. But the point is that sometimes in your marriages, sometimes you could be closing the door on love, closing the door on just having fun with each other and enjoying each other's company. Many times you can settle in your marriage when God wants us to be better. And if you're not careful, the D word, the divorce word, can enter your arguments. Can't believe I married you. I want a divorce. Could have married someone a lot better. I could have married way up. I settled a lot down. I should have found someone else. I need to get a divorce. Sometimes we can interject that word divorce in our arguments. I was reading a study that found that in the 1950s, 20% of marriages ended up in divorce. In the 1950s. This year, a divorce takes place every 29 minutes. It's extraordinary just how many divorces we have going on. So what's my point? You may be in a winter season right now, and my message is to you. Don't ever feel like you've got to give up on your marriage when God wants you to get back into your marriage. Don't give up, give back in. Some of you may be wanting a change in your relationship. Let me encourage you, you might be the change that needs to happen for your relationship to go to the next level. Some of you may be wanting, Father, I need a miracle to happen in my marriage. Let me give you a word. You may be the miracle that needs to happen to take your marriage to a whole new level, a whole new level in your marriage. I want you to open your Bibles to page 27. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew, a great gospel. It's the first book in our New Testament. We're on page 27. I want you to look. We're going to be on chapter 19, looking at verse number 3. And I want you all to know that Matthew was one of the 12 disciples, just so you all know. And he gets a lot of his information in writing his gospel from the Gospel of Mark. Of the four gospel writings, Mark is actually the original, the first book that was of the four evangelists. Matthew borrows a little bit from him. But these are words that Jesus says regarding divorce. He says in verse 3, some Pharisees, y'all read with me now, came to him and tried to trap him, Jesus, by asking, does our law allow a man to divorce his wife for whatever reason he wishes? Then Jesus answered, haven't you read the scripture? This is from the Old Testament, that says that in the beginning the Creator made people male and female. And God said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will unite with his wife, and the two shall become one. So there are no longer two, but one man, but one. Man must not separate then what God has brought together. Why is Jesus saying this, and what does all of this mean? In the Roman times, women, and I say this respectfully, but wives were considered property of their husbands. In fact, oftentimes, it was a contractual relationship. You literally had a deed when you would get married. And if your wife, during this time, was to misbehave or do things that you weren't appropriate or weren't happy with, and I say this kind of jokingly, you just kind of took out that deed and said, we'll rip up the deed, we'll rip up this marriage. Women, wives, were considered property of their husbands. And so Jesus is saying, it ain't that easy to get a divorce. That might be what's taking place in the Roman culture, but in the Christian culture, things change. Because when you get married, the two, like Jesus says, become one. And those of you that got married in the Orthodox Church, one of the most beautiful parts of a wedding service, of the wedding sacrament, is when the priest will take your hand and your spouse's hand and will join them together. And he says, what God has brought together, this is a Bible verse, let no man try to put asunder. Let no man try to separate. It becomes a union. And so what God is saying is that when you get married, there is no hierarchy. There's no men are better, women are less. It is all are together, all are one. And if you try to get a divorce as if you're gluing two pieces of paper together and waiting a month and trying to separate those two pieces of paper, that divorce becomes and tears and rips, and that relationship is not strong anymore. And he's talking about the significance and how one should avoid divorces at all costs. Now, let me just speak to those of you that have had a divorce, and those of you that might be tuning in online or watching us on a downloaded message. Let me just share with you that getting a divorce, no one goes into a marriage wanting to get a divorce. And I want you to know that if you've been in a divorce, if there were irreconcilable differences, if there were major things that you just felt you couldn't do, this message is also for you. Because just like everyone else has a chance to start today new, every day God gives you, being single now, a new chance, a new opportunity to find that right person of God's will, to find that right person for your life. There is, listen, no condemnation in church for when you get a divorce for irreconcilable differences, when things could not be solved, when things couldn't be working together. And my heart and my prayer goes out to those of you that are watching us online who have gone through that difficulty, but you have a chance today to start today. You know, I heard this quote, says, marriages, they may be blessed in heaven, but the work requires work here on earth. The maintenance of that marriage requires you to work here on earth. So how do we do that? Four ways. Number one, I want you to make it a point to prioritize your relationship. Think of this like a triangle. Look at this triangle for a moment. I want you to imagine that God is at the very top of this triangle. You and your friend, you and your spouse are at the corners. Notice that as you guys draw closer to God, what happens? You draw closer together. God tells us, seek me first, I'll make everything better. Ask yourself, is God involved in my marriage? Is the only time that God's involved in my marriage is when I'm on church on a Sunday morning? Am I praying at the dinner table? Am I making God part of my life? Am I talking about what God means in my life to my children? Do my children know why I'm going to church on a Sunday morning? Not because I want to, or not because I have to, but I actually want to go. Do my children see my faith in me? Because the closer you get to God, check this out, the formula works out, the closer you get to your friend, to your spouse. Two, make it a priority to have fun. Just think about it. If your spouse is next to you, if your friend is right here, how much time do you guys actually have fun with each other? Sometimes we learn to have fun when we first got married, and we've forgotten to have fun. We're living under the same roof, doing the same thing year after year. The only thing that we ever talk about is what got to get done. Try to find things that y'all used to do. Think about a restaurant that you used to go to, a movie that you went to when you're on your first date. Be silly with each other. Have fun with each other. Dr. John Gottman, who's perhaps the premier psychologist that deals with marriage and family therapy, he says one of the great signs, if you know if your marriage is failing, you might be living together, and that's okay, but a sign that your marriage is failing, check this out, is when you've forgotten to have fun. When you're just living together, doing the same old, same old. Find ways. Find those things. Take your wife out to a restaurant. Be unpredictable with her. Husbands, find ways to show your love to her. Don't let your marriage get stale. You only get one shot at this. Make it count. Three, make it a point to show love to each other. You know, in a few moments from now, we're going to hear a powerful statement that Jesus says. He says, drink of this, all of you. It's a powerful statement. It's probably one of the most powerful parts of our service. He says, drink of this, all of you. This is my blood. Listen to me and say it with me. Of the new covenant. Hello, covenant. Why does he say covenant? Because he says that in the Bible. What does the word covenant mean? The word covenant is a Hebrew word. And the word covenant means cut, to cut. So when we talk about love, when Jesus says that I'm going to cut, I'm going to shed blood to make a marriage, to mingle this marriage together. He was saying, on the day before he died, I'm going to get myself cut. I'm going to hang myself on the Stavro, on the cross, and my blood is going to be the sign of a marriage that I'm going to have between me and my church. In the same way, when we get married, a covenant takes place. And in early marriages, in other cultures, they used to cut. Marriage is not a contract, it is a covenant. They literally would tie the hands of the spouse together on either side. They would cut the hands. A little cut here, a little cut there, and then they would do what? They would mingle the blood together. That's why that whole statement of the two become one is so important, because that blood literally becomes one. You become one flesh. And God offers up his body as an example of the greatest marriage between God and his church. O nymphios, the bridegroom, the wedding taking place. So don't be afraid to show your love to your spouse and to show it by serving them and caring for them. Finally, my last one is make a point to trust God. No matter where you are in your marriage, trust him. Leave it in God's hands. The Bible says, unless the people trust in God, they will labor in vain. In other words, if you're not having God at the center, you're just going to labor in vain. Trust him. Say, God, I'm giving you my marriage. Strengthen my marriage. Strengthen me to be a better husband, to be a better wife to my husband, for a husband to be a better husband to his wife. I leave you with this thought. You know, when I was growing up, my dad was an electrician, and he drove his van, and we drove in our house. We had several cars that me and my sisters would share, and it was my car. I loved it. We shared it amongst it. I wanted it to be mine, but it wasn't. But it was a 1985 Buick LeSabre, 0 to 60 in 30 minutes. It was, whenever it was my time to drive that, whenever we would take turns, I would drive that car. And let me tell you how I would do it. I would clean this car beautifully. I mean, I would get little Q-tips out, and I would clean the little spokes. Back in those days, they had a lot of on the hubcaps, they had all these different spokes, and I would sit there and just spend hours and hours cleaning it, and then I would put Armor All around the tires, and then I would change the oil when it was my turn, and I'd not put average oil, but I'd put that great synthetic oil, the best oil you can put in a 1985 Buick LeSabre. I did that. And then I would take Armor All to the top of the roof of the car so it all shined on the inside, and then I would make sure that when I would go to the gas station, I just wouldn't put the 87, I'd put the 93. I'd put the highest octane gas that I could put in that car because I want it to be the very best. And in many ways, that's how our marriages are. What you're putting into your marriage is what you're going to get out of your marriage. You can put the cheap gas. You can be cheap with your love. Cheap with the excitement, cheap when you don't have fun with each other. You can do all that, and your marriage might be surviving. You just might be in the same house together, but it ain't operating the way God desired for it to run. And if your marriage today, if today your marriage is just simply settling, then I want to encourage you, start today to make it a priority to have fun in your marriage. If today you don't have God at the center of your marriage, then start today to make God a priority, like that triangle, to be a priority in your life. If today your marriage, you don't have any love that you're experiencing or exposing and expressing to each other, then let me tell you, start today to show the love. Because my desire for you, friends, is that marriage is not an earthly event. It is eternal. It is eternal. And my challenge and my encouragement for you is that I want you to start today to not look at ways to get out, but look at ways to get in. Don't give up, but give back to your marriage. You are the change that God is looking for to change your marriage. So that starting today, you and me in our marriages and in our relationships, we too can live happily ever after. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.